full complement of correction officers or supervisory officers on any one shift cannot be guaranteed. Attica presently lacks the services of three lieutenants, as two are ill and one position is vacant. The vacancy, frozen by the division of the budget because of the austerity budget, has just been removed from this status and will be filled very soon. It is my feeling that the manpower shortage at Attica is not sufficiently serious at the present time to cause any difficulty in maintaining proper security. That's the letter you're referring to. You didn't agree with that conclusion, I take it, that it was not sufficiently serious.
Well, I would say when you're short 3 out of 5, I couldn't agree, no.
Now,
secondly, like I stated previously, there was no consistency in staffing, no criteria used. As I stated previously, at Woodburn, they had 640 residents, 15 sergeants. At Attica, they had 2,310 sergeants. No criteria for staffing at all.
Did you feel that your men worked in any position long enough to get to know the inmates and work with them?
Well, certainly it's extremely difficult for a sergeant covering 3 blocks rather than being in 1 block where he could personally supervise and get to know his inmates, or even know the block.
When you came into this institution, did you have opportunities to get to know inmates?
You mean, am I returning to Attica?
Before you know, when you first started.
Yes.
Did you have opportunities to take an interest in any inmates?
Yes.
Did you take inmates interest in any of them?
Well, for example, I know Ms. Boots Young, but there's an inmate that testified this morning by the name of Young.
Yes.
I, at the time of his reception in 1960, was working as a guidance counselor. I wrote up his case history, had the pre-parole investigation, followed his case for approximately 2.5 years. Later in the law library, I became involved in his legal action to the extent that I was notarizing his papers and followed his case, yes.
Did you read his briefs and things like that?
Well, I appeared in court while he was there testifying, so any evidence presented before the court, I heard, yes.
Well, you appeared just as a security officer to accompany him?
Right. But as part of my duties...
But other than notarizing, did you give him any assistance or encouragement or anything else?
Well, I think to some degree in the law library, certainly we tried to steer the inmates if we could.
Now, you said that you worked as a notary and had something to do with inmates who were filing writs. Did you come to any conclusions as with respect to the frustrations that men feel when they come to Attica after they've been through our court system?
Well, this, I feel, is one of the major frustrations, as that is the inmate arriving at the institution. 9 chances out of 10, the attorney has automatically filed notice of appeal. He has great hopes in this. Then I think through other inmate contacts, he starts doing his own inmate work, inmate legal work. And as a rule, he's bringing up 1 point at a time, either in habeas corpus or coram nobis, back to the original court. Now, frequently, on coram nobis, it's in his home area. The lawyer assigned is long distance away. Very little communication between the two and causes a lot of anxieties. Habeas corpus, as a rule, the judge held court in the institution either weekly or... I think it's weekly now, maybe it was 2 or 3 times a month when I was there. But with a backlog of cases, his awaiting a decision was very lengthy. And this caused a lot of anxiety. If he could get an answer from the county court, he could appeal to the appellate division. If he could hear from the appellate division, he could appeal to the court of appeals. A very long and time-consuming process. And this added to frustration.
Now, you talked about your own anxieties, about the fact that you left your wallet home, about the fact that money wasn't appropriated, that you had inadequate staffing. There came a time when Commissioner Oswald visited Attica just before the uprising, am I correct?
Yes, sir.
And what effect, as you perceived it, did that visit have?
There was a lot of reference made to the commissioner's tape. I did not hear this. So I do not know what promises were made, etc. Through conversations of inmates out in the yard a day or two later and the consensus of their conversations that he promised things that were almost impossible to deliver. In other words, even they recognized the fact that before they could go home on weekends, it would have to go before the legislature for appropriations, for bus transportation, etc. In other words, they felt a lot of the promises could not be fulfilled at that particular point, and some of them not in the future. Now, I personally did not hear the tape. I don't know what promises were made. This was the feedback after the commissioner's tape was played.
Well, these inmates you knew had great hopes for change for quite a while. They had been promised reform. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And you told Mr. Hennix that the worst thing that a correction officer can do to a man under confinement is to promise something and then not deliver.
I'd like to clarify that.
Well,
certainly, the correction officer or the sergeant is the man talking to the inmate. Many times, those making the promises are a good long ways away. It is much more difficult for the officer or the individual in direct contact with the inmate. In other words, I think you'll find many frustrations taken out on the officers in direct contact with the inmate because they can't get to the commissioner.
Well, do you think that it was a case here of many things being promised in the way of reform, and programming, and hope, and then very little being delivered on these promises?
I would not only say that prior to the disturbance, I'm saying it's true today.
And do you think that the fact that these promises are not being lived up to is creating security problems to yourself and putting you as a correction officer who works in that institution always outnumbered in jeopardy?
I don't think there's any doubt about it.
And if you had to make an appeal here today and wanted to make a statement, do I take it that the burden of your statement would be that the public has just got to come across with the funds necessary for the programming and for the reforms that have been long overdue?
I think the one thing the public has to be educated on, and also the legislature, that an institution operating 24 hours a day cannot be cut in staff. Maybe on an 8-hour day, maybe in a business office, you can cut a stenographer. But when you cut an officer from an institution that's operating 24 hours, you're exposing their lives. In other words, the budgets are cut 10%. There isn't any way the Department of Correction can cut their budget 10% without jeopardizing lives and safety, food, clothing, or the necessary items. In other words, I criticize the legislature to the extent that institutions or any 24-hour operation cannot stand a 10% cut.
Mr. Chairman?
Sergeant Patone, I want to remind you, as I think you're aware, that you have an opportunity to make your own statement, if you wish, before the conclusion of your time before us. Now, I think there are some questions from the members of the commission, and if you wish to make a statement, we'll be very glad to hear it. Mrs. Wadsworth?
I think that throughout the hearings, I'm seeking threads to find ways of making change. You stated that if the inmates are happy, then the correctional officers are happy, I believe. Is that right?
I don't think there's any doubt about that.
The way you phrased it, I believe. Do you feel that the correctional officers do, as a group or individually, think of means and ways to improve, alleviate the conditions there? Do you think they take this as an assignment, that they take this as an idea and a goal of thinking of ways to make this situation better in any way?
During the course of the years, I've seen correction officers improvise with the aid of inmates many recreational equipment, many other areas where they have improvised, either through the inmates or with the cooperation of the officer. Yes, I definitely feel that the officer is trying to supplement in any way that he can, either with material things or otherwise. I think the officers are doing a tremendous job with what they have to work with.
Something beyond the individual one-to-one.
That's right.
In talking with a gentleman who was the head of a union of correctional officers on the West Coast, he stated that one of the goals of their union activities was to make better the conditions of the inmate population. This was a surprising point to me at the beginning, and I asked him to clarify why, and he said the same thing you're saying, that if the inmates are happy, then it's better. So I wonder if in the union activities here, or is there reality in the union taking this kind of goal or interest and wondering what kinds of things they can do to improve the situation?
That's a difficult question. We have serious problems with our union. It's in trusteeship of the international. New York State has many problems with the union, and I would rather not discuss their participation, etc.
And there's no reality in that at this point.
Well, as far as New York State is concerned.
Thank you.
Bishop Broderick.
Sergeant Mayor, did you hear Boots Young's testimony this morning?
No, unfortunately, I was en route, so I did not.
Well, what was interesting to me, one of the things he did mention, he said that in the question when Mr. Lyman asked him about racism among the correctional officers, he said he thought it would be confined to about three or four. I think four was the outside figure. Would you share this opinion? Now, maybe this is a two-pronged question. I'm asking you, A, do you feel there's any racism among the COs? And two, would you say it would be confined to four?
Well, I would say this. He would probably be in a better position than I, as a supervisor, to hear it or know it. To the extent that he probably, let's say he is in a different position than I am, and certainly he might be the recipient. So I think he would be in a better position to judge it than I would.
But you wouldn't dispute what he said?
I probably would say lower, but...
I don't mean to pit you against him, but right. I just...
No, I would respect his judgment.
All right, thanks, sir.
Mr. Rothschild?
Sergeant Battone, in a lot of the testimony we've heard thus far, both from inmates and from corrections personnel, seems that both sides are victimized in a considerable degree by common problems. You've mentioned at some length, and you're not alone in that, the fiscal stringency of the institution. There's been a good deal of mention more by inmates than by officers, but certainly no repudiation, I don't think, of it on the part of the officers about the clumsiness of some of the operating procedures, some of the built-in problems that perhaps are not necessary to the institution and aggravate a relationship which at best is a difficult one. I guess institutions change slowly, but hopefully there's been enough focus on this to be hopeful about some of those things not being impossible to change. The other thing we've heard a lot about are attitudes. There's been a lot of talk about the change in the population, the change in the mores, the change in the points of view of inmates who used to mind their business and do their time and now have quite a different perspective. You said, and Mrs. Wadsworth repeated, that the state of mind of the inmates relates pretty well to the state of mind of the correction officers, in a sense. What has that change in attitude represented in a correction officer's perspective? You talked about being assaulted in the last few days. I recognize that since that's before the courts, you may not want to go into that in great detail. It's symptomatic of what I'm trying to ask, though. The attitudes are related to each other of inmates and officers.
I think there's a small percentage. I mean, let's bear in mind, we get our people off the streets. There's going to be trying to break or bust the system inside as long as outside. I think this is a very small percentage, but it is there. I don't think it's the rules or regulations they're fighting. They're just trying to bring down the establishment. I think it's that simple.
But what does that do to the daily job of a correction officer is really what I'm asking. Someone assaulted you. What other manifestations that are in the daily problems of a correction officer does that bring out?
Well, of course, this is a very small community. Word travels. It's demoralizing. And I don't think there's any officer there that doesn't feel that the same thing could happen to him. I think he's aware of it. The inmates know it. We know it. And the situation is there.
Is there a lot of invective traded? I mean, this is the kind of thing we hear, but we don't really know.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about it. There's very close communication. I would like to add this. There has been 3 assaults recently. Now, we've heard all these brutality charges for 6 months. I haven't seen any evidence yet from the courts where one officer has been called into court to testify on his own behalf as far as facing the brutality charges. I can't believe the inmates do not know who they are. In other words, they have an opportunity to subpoena these people in court, and they haven't been, and this is 6 months later, nor has there been any court case to prove that there has been any brutality.
In summation, and just so I'm trying to be clear about it, would you say that, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, I really rather it came elsewhere, that would you say that basically the relationship between inmate and officer in the institution today is a more abrasive, less congenial one than it was a few years ago? I don't mean before or after the incident.
There isn't any doubt about that, sir. No doubt whatsoever.
Thank you.
Mr. Wilbanks?
You indicated there was a rise in political activity. I think you indicated this. Could you give us, you didn't quite express, I think, or give a definition of what you meant by this, by taking an area where inmates congregate, such as in the yard. Could you give us an example of what type of activity would alarm you? For example, before the incident of September the 9th.
Well, of course, this is a matter of opinion, too. And
what did you feel intimidated you or was a threat to you?
Well, when I saw 20 to 40 inmates practicing karate, I was very concerned. I don't mind telling you this. I'm talking about organized activity, and this is exactly what I'm referring to.
What about speech? What other than karate?
Well, we're talking personally now. I was supervising from the Times Square tunnel, the whole 4 yards. So therefore, as far as voice, I did not hear what they were talking about. Others did, etc. I myself did not hear. Mine was mostly visual.
Sergeant Batone, a number of inmates have reported to us, and some of them have testified here, that one of their great concerns is the attack by other inmates upon themselves, and particularly the homosexual attack. Do you consider that a serious problem in the institution?
I consider an attack and assault on anyone serious, whether it is an employee, another inmate, or what. Our main function and our main purpose is to protect the inmates. I would say a year prior to the disturbance, it was very difficult to protect other inmates, inmates from other inmates.
What special kinds of precautions can you take to protect them against one against another?
Well, if there is no contact, it is extremely difficult. If there is contact, this is a disciplinary report. We were in a position prior to some court procedures where we would separate the two inmates. In other words, Attica is built so that we have 4 separate blocks. We like to think we have 4 separate institutions. So we would take every precaution. If 2 inmates had an altercation, just to separate and try to keep them separated.
Thank you. Now, are you, Arthur?
Are you finished with your questions, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, I was just going to ask the sergeant if he had a statement he wanted to make.
I just wanted to ask one question pursuing the question of Mr. Wilbanks. If you saw a group of 30 or 40 inmates standing around the yard in a circle talking today, would you become apprehensive if you couldn't overhear what they were saying?
I would have to have more information than that, other than just seeing a group.
But Sergeant Patone, from where you would be stationed looking out from a window, that may be the only information that you'd have. You'd see a group of black inmates standing around the yard and not even be able to make out, in some cases, the faces. Would that mere aggregation of individuals in the yard create apprehension on your part?
No, not at this time. Right now, near the basketball court, there might be 60 there, standing there, talking. Maybe not even watching the basketball game, but that's the situation today. No, this in itself would not be harmful. In other words, unless we had other information that there was some type of organization. But what you described to me would not be alarming.
Sergeant Patone, do you wish to make a statement?
No, sir. The only thing I can say at this point, I think all of us at Attica are very disappointed in the legislature. We felt possibly, as a result of this disturbance, that we would see some evidence prior to this point, some progress. And obviously, we have seen very little or none. The only thing I can do is express our extreme disappointment with what's been done up to this point.
Thank you very much for your statement and for being with us today. We appreciate your cooperation.
I would like to add one more thing.
Yes, sir, by all means.
Your staff has come in, I think, and tried to do a very commendable job in, certainly, anyone that's trying to help us. We in corrections, much against public opinion, we certainly enjoy people coming in. We want to be investigated. We welcome it. If you'd like to leave Mr. Rossbacher or the rest as monitors, we'd be very happy to have them.
I admire the staff as much as you do, and we thank you for your comments.